cab drivers here on WUST 1120 AM. I'm Pete Tucker with The Fight Back, thefightback.org. The voice of DC cab drivers returns to the air at a critical time. DC's taxicab industry is unique. Instead of being dominated by a few big companies like almost everywhere else, DC has many independent owner-operators, small companies, and associations. But all that could change. Medallion legislation was introduced March 15th by Ward 5 Councilmember Harry Thomas, Ward 8 Councilmember Marion Barry, and at-large Councilmember Michael Brown. It was co-sponsored by Ward 7 Councilmember Yvette Alexander. Ward 6 Councilmember Tommy Wells, who chairs the Committee on Public Works and Transportation, has said that he plans to hold a hearing on the bill in June. The introduction of medallions could quickly lead to a consolidation of the market, as has happened in city after city. While drivers overwhelmingly oppose the legislation, John Ray supports it. Directly following a March 30th press conference on the steps of the John A. Wilson Building, the former council member stated that the introduction of medallions would lead to a few big companies having much greater control of DC's taxicab industry.
Well, I think what will happen here in the District of Columbia is that if people did go out if they sell their medallions just to come, I think in 20, 30, 40 years, most medallions in the district will probably be owned by four or five companies. I mean, the reason for that is because, unlike New York, there's a large number of companies that already own cars. For example, the folks who were here today, I mean, there was four fleet owners here. One of them owned 200, one owns 100, one owns about 80, another owns about 50. Those individuals, just like any other company, is going to be out trying to buy medallions down the road. So, and on top of that, I think there will also be a provision in the bill, because folks have expressed this in their discussions with the government officials, that they will limit the number of medallions that one company can own to ensure that one company does not own all the medallions. So I don't think that there's any fear that one company, but if you're asking me, do I believe down the road that most of the medallions is going to be owned by companies, my answer would be yes, because I think that most individuals, when they sell their medallions, companies are going to offer them more than the individual.
John Ray, former D.C. council member and leading medallion mouthpiece, directly following the March 30th press conference on the steps of the John A. Wilson Building at 1350 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest. Former mayor and Ward 8 council member Marion Barry, a co-introducer of the medallion legislation, also spoke at the March 30th press conference. Unfortunately, his remarks were xenophobic.
Wait a minute. For those of you who are not from America, we welcome you. But we do things just a little bit differently here in Washington, that's all. We have disagreements without attacking anybody. We have disagreements without shouting down anybody. That's how we do it, right? And it works that way. That's right. Well, the time to express that is at the hearing. I will let all you all know when you hear, you ought to pack the chambers up there. You ought to get on the witness list. You ought to disagree as much as you want to disagree. And let the council members hear you. All right, that's how we want to do it.
Madam Betty, did you
sign
here?
Yes, you signed that, Barry.
Yes.
That was Ward 8 council member Marion Barry addressing drivers at the March 30th press conference at the John A. Wilson Building. This is the voice of DC cab drivers. I'm Pete Tucker with The Fight Back, thefightback.org, joined by Larry Frankel, chairman of Dominion of Cab Drivers and the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, as well as by Carolyn Robinson, a fourth-generation Washingtonian public service vehicle operator in Washington for 36 years, affiliated with DC Professional Taxi Cab Drivers Association and Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, presently owner-operator of Yellow Cab Number 800, and a participant with Council of Governments, COGS, Regional Taxicab Regulators meetings. Welcome to both of you. Larry Frankel, I guess we should start where we talked about a lot last week, which is this all-important medallion legislation.
Certainly. Definitely, the introduction of this is an attack on our small businesses. I mean, Mr. Berry was trying to, if in the statement, was trying to defray that this is almost a violent attack on us. It separates us by age. It separates us by race, and ethnic backgrounds. It's an evil bill, and I'm just so sorry that, you know, that this was introduced. But what I'm not sorry about is that it certainly has gotten to the individual cab drivers that are listening here. And I thank you for listening in, and we want you to participate later in the show here and definitely hear from you. But I'm sure we're in all agreement that we are here. We're going to protect our rights for our businesses.
This is the voice of DC Cab Drivers. It's Larry Frankel, Chairman of Dominion of Cab Drivers, as well as the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. We're here on 1120 AM WUST, and the number to call if you want to participate is 703-534-9878, 703-534-9878. Welcome, Carolyn Robinson.
Good evening, Pete. My concern is not only with the medallion bill, but I'm just really surprised and appalled that Harry Thomas and Michael Brown, who are also on the Workforce Development Committee, would really want to put small businesses out of business, being though we're trying to get district residents to stay employed. I remember the city before we even had a mayor and city council. And it appears to me that we should be trying to strengthen the business in the District of Columbia instead of disbanding them.
You're going to be testifying tomorrow, Carolyn, as well as Larry and others. Talk about tomorrow's hearing. It's the Committee on Public Works and Transportation, which is chaired by Tommy Wells. And it's at 2 p.m., room 120 of the John A. Wilson Building at 1350 Pennsylvania Avenue. And the subject is the District of Columbia Taxi Cab Commission. What is it, a budget hearing?
Yeah, it's a budget hearing on the DCTC alone. And we're hoping that the cab drivers will be there for it. What we're hoping to tell Mr. Wells is that we want the Taxi Cab Commission to stay in existence, and we want three taxi cab drivers to be on that commission.
Which is actually, isn't that called for in the guidelines?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's called from the Taxi Cab Establishment Act of 1985, and it certainly is in Title 31 before Mr. Fenty got a hold of it.
And how many taxi cab drivers right now serve on the DC Taxi Cab Commission?
Zero.
Zero.
Zero. In fact, in all aspects of the city, the taxi cab industry does not have a single voice.
Carolyn Robinson.
Well, the commission feels the person who was supposed to be from the industry, Raj Pawa, he drove a cab in 1970, but he's connected with the Pan-Asian affairs. He really isn't a active taxi cab driver. And that has really hampered us in all of our endeavors. We don't want the DC Taxi Cab Commission disbanded. We just want the proper people that can run the commission properly. Everyone who they've had is not every commissioner, with exception of Lee Williams, was not a regulator. We have just been getting people who participated in most of the administration's elections, and I guess this was a job or a pass. They could just send them over to the Taxi Cab Commission. Most of the people who they've had, even the commissioners, don't have a genuine interest in the industry or the drivers. This is just a passe job that they really want to have so they can say that they were involved. You need people who, in essence, have contributed. And it really depends on, you know, as we always say, where the rubber meets the road. You need active drivers who know the conditions and know who can speak on the relevancy of the industry.
That's Carolyn Robinson, a taxi cab driver for 36 years. We have a caller on the line, but first, welcome Pete Harmon to the conversation. He's here in studio with us with Dominion of Cab Drivers. And Pete has a quick comment before we go to our caller. Welcome, Pete Harmon.
Yes, I want to say about the Taxi Cab Commission. It says very clearly somebody, there's supposed to be three members from the industry. When I talked to their attorney, their counsel, they said it doesn't mean taxi industry, it means any industry. It could be from the pharmaceutical industry, mining industry. Obviously, it shows what a sham the Taxi Cab Commission is. Not only people who are disinterested in the industry, there are people interested in the industry who want to destroy the industry the way it is now. Mr. Kubley from the Department of Transportation, employee of D.C. government, he has been he's the one that promulgated the laws where we get air pressure, the crazy taxi regulations, $1,000 fines. A gentleman who represents the restaurant industry, Mr. Cohn, while he could be sympathetic to us, I think he's heard the voice of Leon Swain too much. I think all you know Leon Swain, he's actively tried to destroy our industry with the high fines, the harassment, the low fares. He's the chairman of the Taxi Cab Commission. The commission is not just – well, it gives new meaning to the word dysfunctional, the way the Taxi Cab Commission has acted in the last few years. For its whole history. But now it's functional in a sense that it wants to destroy our industry, and it seems to be actively trying to do that. And that's why there are no representatives from the taxi industry on it. If there were, they would probably just put Jerry Schaefer on it, and he's the author of this bill. Anyway, let me go ahead to the caller here.
Yeah, and we can talk for a bit, Larry, about it puts taxi cab drivers in an awkward position where you have this body that has not allowed taxi cab drivers on it for some time, has not been responsive to drivers' needs, but you have to fight to keep it in existence because we'll talk about this legislation more, but this three-person panel that is being called for may, in fact, be more dangerous for drivers' interests. Maybe we can talk about that
absolutely
in a bit.
Absolutely.
Let's first go to the caller. Caller, welcome to the voice of DC cab drivers. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good evening. How are you?
I'm fine, Larry. Good afternoon to Ms. Robinson. Larry,
good evening.
This is one of your colleagues in the struggle. This is Ron Bethay. I'm an advocate in the industry. I agree wholeheartedly that this is a terrible bill. And even though I am an advocate for a vested licensing system for independent owner operators, and it seems though no one is speaking to the conflict of interest, because as the points that y'all have made, but the fact of the matter is, this attack on us started way back in 2006 with the Non-Residency Tax Registration Temporary Amendment Act of 2007. The Hybrid Technology Expansion Bill of 2007. The Meter Bill 2008. The Taxi Cab Medallion Certificate Act of 2009. Now we have the Medallion Establishment Act in 2011. Now, the fact of the matter is, a petition was filed with close to 2,000 driver signatures asking that if they went to a medallion system, that all independent owner operators be grandfathered in, and that each driver's DCTC be made transferable and meet the SBA minimum guarantee loan requirement so that the drivers and the companies would be able to purchase new vehicles and be able to fight this onslaught. Now, this is no secret. Now, as an independent owner operator with my name on my door, I'm in a different ball game than, say, Miss Robinson in yellow, and other independent owner operators, because here we have where the D.C. government has told drivers, which are 22,000 drivers left out of the last 3,000 drivers, they don't own nothing but their cars because the number on the door belongs to the company. That's insanity.
Absolutely, Mr. Bethea. On top of it, I mean, what an insult to operators like yourself that have your name on the door and are totally independent of associations and companies. How will, you know, this bill is meant to exclude you, and it's just...
It excludes everybody, Larry.
Oh, absolutely, everybody. But, you know, it's really an insult. Boy, what I find, I mean, it's an insult to all of us. We're all self-employed individuals. But, you know, what I'm saying, it's beyond and over the edge that this bill would even suggest that there will be operators that they'll return, they'll ask for the licenses back on.
But even further than that, Larry, I have prepared a document called Talking Points, which I will make available for you and Mr. Tucker, which has numerous federal and local laws which have been violated, as well as human rights that have been violated of independent owner operators in this city. I dare that they take federal tax dollars and purchase wheelchair-accessible taxi cabs, and then don't even allow cab drivers who are veterans to be able to even apply for the federal money. And I wrote the program.
Thanks so much for the call, Ron Bethea, a longtime independent owner-operator, one of the many drivers who are in jeopardy because of this taxi cab medallion legislation. This is the voice of D.C. cab drivers. I'm Pete Tucker. We're here on WUST 1120 AM. If you want to join the conversation, 703-534-9878. The show is brought to you by the Dominion of Cab Drivers. Carolyn Robinson, if you have any comments on all that Mr. Bethea brought up. And also, I was wondering if we could get a little heads up about what you're going to be testifying to tomorrow before Mr. Wells at the D.C. Council.
Well, I can give you first, Pete, a little heads up on what I intend to bring the council aware tomorrow, especially Councilmember Wells. You know, the budget, first of all, Councilmember Wells really ought to do his due diligence in getting the proper chairman of the commission. Chairman Swain has enacted his own, I would say kind of Hitler tactics, you know, of operating the commission. He has his own rules. He's not abiding by any rules. And he's changing things without proper, he's instituting corrections in the Title 31 without the proper hearings, without proper anything. You know, it's really a travesty that the District of Columbia government is breaking the law. And that's not good. You know, what kind of teaching are we giving to younger people to see that the government can't even follow rules and regulations? So how do we expect other people to follow rules and regulations? Now, in regards to Mr. Bethea with the handicap, the money came from the Council of Governments. And it is true what he said, that individuals were not allowed. They were only having companies. They had, the grant was given to two companies, and they, in the District of Columbia, Yellow Paratransit and Royal, which is part of the Schaefer's group. And they also had another company from Montgomery County that I opposed, Regency Cab Company, that were supposed to get one of the contracts. I went to all the meetings and I spoke with Councilmember Graham, and I tried to get him to get some type of provision for me to get one of those handicapped vehicle vans, because I wouldn't mind paying $7,000 for a vehicle that would cost $20,000 or $30,000.
Larry Frankel, I wanted to return to what we were talking about before we got the privilege of hearing from Mr. Bethea, and that is this three-member commission that is being proposed in this legislation. This taxicab medallion legislation doesn't just call for the implementation of medallions, as controversial as that is. It also calls for the abolishing of the DCTC, the DC Taxicab Commission. Can you, for people who may not be familiar, can you describe exactly what is the DC Taxicab Commission, and what are those concerns that you have about abolishing it and moving to a three-member commission?
Well, presently, it is a joke. Thank you, Carolyn. it puts us drivers in a catch-22. I'm afraid that I do like the rules and regulations that rule the Taxi Cab Commission. It sets it up for one chairman and eight commissioners, with supposedly three drivers and several people from the public. Public members to be on it, and it's never been fully commissioned. That's been a major problem throughout almost every administration. Now, what the new medallion bill proposes is that there would be a board with one chairman and what seems like two commissioners. It's fairly ambiguous. It doesn't state that these even would be drivers or people from the taxi cab industry. So, in other words, we could end up with the next generation of non-involvement in our own industry. And this is something that is just totally unacceptable. And so that's why we're hoping that Mayor Gray, and relying on Mayor Gray, to obey the Taxi Cab Establishment Act of 1985 and reset the commissioners with the proper number of industry members and public members, to bring a chairman in to the situation who is a regulator, like Carolyn was saying here. We need someone that is strong to take command of that chairmanship and not fall to the petty politics of the city government and the city council and the corruption that could be involved and has been involved in previous administrations.
Well, this isn't really the first attempt for them to challenge the Taxi Cab Commission. Prior to when Dan Tangalini was with the Department of Transportation, they tried to abolish the Taxi Cab Commission and have a transportation czar and have the commission underneath the Department of Transportation. And, you know, and I thank God and the drivers that we came out in support, and they had to abolish that idea because it just really wouldn't work. But it's just amazing to me that a lot of people that are not involved can sit and decide on rules and regulations that pertain to the drivers, and the drivers never have a seat at the table. Now, when I was on Councilmember Graham's task force, we attempted to implement a lot of changes, but unfortunately, the chairman of the Taxi Cab Commission refused to implement a lot of the changes that we addressed. And one of them was to make sure that there were industry, and you can't describe industry as the hotel association. We want current drivers. It's good to have the hospitality committee on the commission, but the hospitality committee is trying to address their affairs. The hotel association, Mr. Lasner, he's about the hotels. He's not about cab drivers. And cab drivers have to take not only people who visit his hotel, but also take the workers from the hotel home. The Restaurant Association, Mr. Kahn, he has been amicable, you know, in ways that he can. But basically, he's a businessman, and he's really not that concerned about the cab drivers. He does have a concern about the bicycle racks in front of one of his restaurants. But other than that, he's not concerned with the drivers. And then having two people with the Department of Transportation, to me, totally is a conflict of interest. Why would you have two transportation people on the Taxi Cab Commission? They were trying to get Destination DC chairman on the commission. So if they Elliot Ferguson. So if they, and thank God we opposed his confirmation. But if they have the table full of all of the people who will compliment them, it's not going to help the cab drivers.
Carolyn Robinson, as I've been explaining to folks who don't know a lot about the taxi cab industry and particularly the unique status of taxi cabs in D.C., the existence of independent owner-operators, and what's at stake here, a lot of the times the question comes up, well, how has D.C. maintained this ability to not have medallions, to not have, to still have independent owner-operators. I'm sure there's been big companies chomping at the bit for years and decades, and I'm curious to know how it's come to be that, that D.C. is unique and it is, still has the ability for independent owner-operators to exist, albeit it's difficult now, that still is, that possibility still does exist.
The District of Columbia had a, had an open system, and that's, that allowed anyone, and this is the problem that we've had in other jurisdictions, you know, with me attending the regional regulators meetings, each other jurisdiction, Arlington County, Alexandria, Fairfax, you have Prince George's County, Montgomery County, they have only a certain amount of licenses that they issue. Whereas the District of Columbia, if you go through the process of the school at UDC and you take the test, you can get a license, which personally, I felt they should have been put a cap on the drivers. There are over 10,000 legal drivers licensed in the District of Columbia. We're not talking about the other jurisdictional. We have the Arlington and Alexandria and the Montgomery County and Prince George's County. I even saw an Annapolis cab the other day. Besides the BWI cabs, we have the Washington Flyer. We have everybody coming in our jurisdiction taking our business away. And then they're constantly adding on cabs. You know, D.C. has more cabs per capita than anywhere else, I believe, in the world. So something needs to be addressed. But I don't want anybody put out of business.
Larry Frankel.
Yeah, I'd just like to answer your question more directly, Pete, and say, God bless America. That's why there's still independent cab drivers in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. No matter where all of us have come from and where we've been born, we are Americans. And when the going gets rough, we have stood up together to protect our industry. When Mr. Fenty was running for office, you could not get into a Washington, D.C. cab without hearing something negative coming from the cab driver about Mr. Fenty. This is the strength of the cab driver. And therefore, that's why we're here today. That's why we have this radio program, so we can inform all of the cab drivers that we do have unity and to continue without being discouraged.
This is the voice of D.C. cab drivers. That's the voice of Larry Frankel, chairman of Dominion of Cab Drivers. I'm Pete Tucker. We're here on 1120 AM WUST. To join the conversation, call 703-534-9878. Pete Harmon, I wanted to bring you back into the conversation. And a very mundane question, but for folks who don't know a lot about these issues, I wonder if you could, just in a very basic way, explain what exactly a medallion is.
A medallion is essentially a license to own and operate a taxi. In most cities, it's severely restricted. Washington, D.C., we essentially had a medallion before. When you passed a difficult test, went through a difficult process to get a license, probably second difficulty to the London taxi cab drivers, who can also own their cabs but charge $7 a mile to transport passengers. We had that. Now, they essentially took that away with the new drivers. They made the licensing much, much easier to get. I would say 98% of the drivers failed the test on the first try before. Now the ratio is opposite. But I will say to the new drivers, even though you're renting a cab now and you think you have no stake in this game, you're paying $150 to $200 a week to rent a cab. When they take away our ownership rights and you have to go to Jerry Schaefer, whoever holds these restricted medallions, you could be paying that much a day. That's New York City cab drivers pay as much as $165 a day plus gas to rent a cab. Some in Philadelphia, they receive only one third of the meter. You have to give the company $200. You keep $100 after a 12-hour shift. Basically, this is a way, and these medallions can also be sold on some cities. Are sold on the open market. They go for as much as $400,000 to $800,000. The city of Washington plans to take away our DCTCs, our right to own our own taxis, and sell them to Jerry Schaefer and a few others for only $10,000. Kick back on that with Tip Mother Teresa, much less Marion Barry. I talked to a driver last night who had just come back from Pakistan, put a new taxi on road, a brand new minivan. He I told him he'd been driving for 17 years. He did not live in a district. He was going to lose his cab. He would not be able to drive it anymore as a taxi. This will happen to many, many drivers and many, many companies. They are taking away our business and selling it or giving it away cheap to somebody else. Also, other drivers, about 4 or 5% of the drivers that theoretically qualify under this bill to get medallions, to be allowed to buy a medallion. Let me explain. The bill is written in such a manner, it's very craftily written, but it's vague in important parts. It says, for any D.C. resident, you must provide prove that you paid taxes in the District of Columbia for the last 5 years. You must have been licensed to operate a taxi before March 1st, 2006. You must be in good standing with the Taxi Cab Commission. That is deliberately vague. Good standing could mean that if you had two or three of these ridiculous hack violations, you're fired. You cannot get a medallion. They will do they're going to do anything to eliminate as many private owners as possible. That's guaranteed. And you must, of course, have a valid DC hack license, and you must be in full compliance with DC laws and regulations. However, other individuals, companies like that have had a license, operated for 10 years in a district and paid sales tax on their rental vehicles and their other taxes, and there's only a few companies qualify for that, and own their taxis. For example, I work at Diamond Cab. It's been in business for about 90 years. Diamond owns cabs. They will not qualify to get any medallions, any of the drivers that don't qualify otherwise. Basically, it is set up so most cab drivers and most companies will be out of business, period. They are taking away our business and selling it cheap to somebody else.
Take a break, Pete, and come back to
it. Yeah.
That's Pete Harmon with Dominion of Cab Drivers. This is the voice of DC cab drivers here on 1120 AM WUST. The number to call if you want to join the conversation is 703-534-9878. April 26th is the special election for the at-large seat at the DC Council. This is the seat that when Kwame Brown was sworn in as chairman of the District of Columbia, chairman of the council, his at-large seat was open. It's currently temporarily filled by Sekou Biddle. He's one of the candidates for that large seat. Throughout the next weeks, I've been asking each of the candidates 10 questions. Two of those questions have to do with taxicab issues. And all the questions are at the Fight Back, thefightback.org. Two of the candidates, Joshua Lopez and Vincent Orange, are the first two I put the questions to. And I want to take a minute and play Joshua Lopez's answers regarding taxicab issues in the District of Columbia. Question four, D.C. taxicab fares are some of the lowest in the country. Would you be in support of making D.C. fares competitive with neighboring jurisdictions?
I'm not sure. I'd have to look at the rates. You said they're one of the most expensive, or they're
some of the lowest fares in the country.
You know, if you look at who uses taxi cabs, I see a lot of seniors on fixed income. I'm against raising the fares, for that very same reason. But I think the bigger issue with taxi cabs is, a lot of the taxi cab drivers aren't district residents. There's still a lot of discrimination. You talk to any African American or Latino in the city, they'll tell you stories of taxi cabs, unwilling to stop for them or take them to, the eastern part of the city. I think that's a bigger issue with taxi cabs.
Question number five, what is your position on the recently introduced taxi cab medallion legislation?
I'm against it. I fear that it would create a monopoly on the system and kind of just eliminate, just regular, average folks who are able to kind of make a living off a taxi cab system, being a taxi cab driver. So I'm against it.
That was Joshua Lopez. He's a candidate in the special election for the D.C. Council, the at-large seat, April 26th. I also asked Vincent Orange 10 questions, and two of them are about the D.C. taxicab industry. Question number four, D.C. taxicab fares are some of the lowest in the country. Would you be in support of making D.C.'s fares competitive with neighboring jurisdictions?
Yes, I think they should be competitive with neighboring jurisdictions. We shouldn't have the lowest fees and someone go right across the bridge making more. But I think the entire taxicab industry in the District of Columbia really needs to have a comprehensive reevaluation of how it operates and making sure that we are competitive.
Question number five, what is your position on the recently introduced taxicab medallion legislation?
I'm looking forward to being a part of the debate. I don't have a position.
That was the voice of Vincent Orange, a candidate for the D.C. Council, the at-large April 26th special election. This is the voice of D.C. Cab drivers. I'm Pete Tucker with the Fight Back, thefightback.org. I want to get all of your responses to those candidates, and we'll be playing the rest of the candidates in, I guess, next 2 weeks because the election is 16 days from now. But first, I wanted to go to a caller who is on the line. Welcome to the voice of D.C. cab drivers.
Is that for me?
Yeah. Is that Ken Williams?
So, yep.
Welcome, Ken Williams.
So I thought it would be helpful, Pete, if you feel there's enough time, just to go through some of the reasons why this bill is bad for the D.C. driver.
Please.
Okay. So here are the issues for the D.C. driver. One is if your car is 6 years old, you'll have to get a new car. And, in fact, every 6 years you'll need to get a new car. If you started hacking after March 1 of 2006, you will not be able to get a medallion. If you have hacked less than 20 years, you'll need to come up with $5,000 within 180 days. One of the issues to consider for the DC drivers is property tax. As the medallion appreciates in value, and particularly if it appreciates quickly, you will owe property tax on it. And the bill is written such that you cannot sell your medallion if you owe any taxes, fees, or, you know, fines. And so that means that if the property tax gets ahead of you, you won't be able to sell the medallion to pay off that property tax. The other things would be that the city can change from a flat fee when you transfer or sell a medallion of $2,000 to a percentage. And what that means is that they could take any percentage they want in this bill of the value of the medallion upon sale. So if you were anticipating that it would be worth, let's say, $80,000 when you sell it, it could suddenly be worth $60,000 and you might have to work additional years. Other things to consider is that, you know, if you get one of these, they're going to put a three-member board in charge of the whole taxicab industry. And that board is composed of residents of the district from pretty much any profession they want. So you'll have to think about whether you really want to go from a nine-member commission that we expect soon will include taxicab drivers on it to a three-member board that could be residents of any type, which could lead to a lot of corruption. Similarly, in terms of running this whole thing, besides this three-member board, they're going to put the implementation of the medallion system in the hands of any government employee, it could be. It could also be any private entity, which means that you could have a defense contractor or some other group managing the medallion system, which means that you're pretty much at the mercy of whoever that contractor is. So that would be another thing to keep
just
an eye
let me
on.
Point out, too, Ken, it could even be the Schaefers.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, the other thing is that this bill says that in order to buy a medallion or to sell it, you have to be in good standing with the taxicab commission. It doesn't define what good standing means. Does good standing mean you didn't return a phone call? Does it mean that you have an outstanding ticket? Whatever. And as they head towards the sale of medallions, they could, you know, they could do various retaliatory things that would suddenly you would not be in good standing and would make it difficult for you to buy one. You also can't sell it if you're not in good standing. There's something in the bill that says that your medallion can be revoked if you misuse it or you allow someone else to misuse it. The bill does not define what the misuse of a medallion is, whether that's that you ran a light or whether it's some other thing. So that would be another thing to keep an eye on. And then it says that all cabs have to be painted black, and you can submit a design for your cab, and so can everybody else. And if your design would cause confusion in the mind of the public because it's too much like someone else's design, they can revoke your operator's license. So you could imagine if you're engaged with a hack inspector, they look at your cab and they say, you know what, that's too much like this other cab over here. They can revoke your operator's license. The other thing would be that you still have to keep in mind, if you do were to have a medallion as a DC driver, that you still could be restricted to wards 7 and 8, east of the Anacostia, and whether or not you think there will be business enough to make it viable for you. You have to be in full compliance with all laws and regulations in order to get one, and probably in order to keep one as well. It says that the city can reduce the number of medallions by any means available under this act. And so that would be another concern, is that they can do that. I think the most important thing, though, if you have a compact car, you know, say a hybrid, you would not be able to continue to own that as a medallion. But the most important thing, I think, is for the DC driver to keep in mind. One is that you would be in a position of selling out a lot of your other fellow drivers. But more importantly, that the biggest asset you take with you is not a medallion. It's your integrity. And so I think that's really important to think about as you consider whether you can support this bill, and then also to know that there may be other ways to take care of you in retirement.
That's the voice of Ken Williams. We're here on the Voice of DC Cab Drivers with Larry Frankel, Chairman of Dominion of Cab Drivers and the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. Carolyn Robinson, taxi cab driver for 36 years, and Pete Harmon with Dominion of Cab Drivers. I want to get any responses that you guys have, beginning with you, Carolyn.
In regards to the the two persons who are running for the at-large seat, Joshua Lopez, I guess, is relatively new, and I'm glad he did say that he really needs to do some research. But I'm really surprised at the comment of Vincent Orange, apparently having no knowledge. He's eager to work. He didn't have any comment. He was a former Ward 5 council person. And it is just interesting that people want to comment on things they have no knowledge of. You know, I mean, neither one of them have met with the drivers. I will say that we did have a meeting with Sekou Biddle, and he opposes the medallion bill, and he gave his reasons why, and we had a very impressive and lucrative meeting with him.
In fact, if I could include, Carolyn, that this was last Thursday.
Yes.
And he met with a Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, and we had a very good, a very positive meeting with him. He's a very intelligent businessman. He prepared himself for that meeting. He understood our issues. I was very impressed with him.
I wanted to bring up the last two Sundays. Not only has the Voice of DC Cab Drivers been on the air, but the Washington Post has also been bringing up DC taxi cab issues. Last week, Sam Staley had a very interesting piece entitled "Cab Medallion System in DC? The Neighborhoods Will Pay the Price." And this week there's a response, and it's by Philip LeBay, a cab driver and dispatcher, former corporate secretary of the Diamond Cab Company. It's entitled "Why DC Needs Cab Medallions," and this in today's Sunday Washington Post. I wanted to read two sentences and get some responses. "The purpose of the low medallion prices that would be offered to veteran drivers is to allow those of us who have sweat equity in this business to remain in it. Many of us entered this business 20 or more years ago with the reasonable expectation that we would not be regulated out of it." Those are the words of Philip LeBay, DC cab driver, dispatcher, former corporate secretary of the Diamond Cab Company, writing in today's Washington Post. Any responses?
Yeah, definitely.
We know Philip. He used to attend the commission meetings. And I will say he is a DC resident, Ward 5. Resident. Go ahead, Larry.
Well, sure. And we agree with him that we do not want to be regulated out of our businesses either. And this is the most important issue of all. But in every city where medallions have been introduced, worldwide, medallions never protected the drivers.
the self-employed individual. They always became corporate, and they always turned around to enslave drivers. In fact, medallions have never accomplished their two main issues that they're supposed to, which was to keep illegal cabs from being part of the system, and to make sure that the cab driver himself was properly licensed. And if you look at New York, you look at London, you look even at Hong Kong, or the other 34 odd cities in America that have medallions, these are the two problems they're having: illegal cab drivers, gypsy cab drivers, and illegal taxis on the road.
I just came back from Boston. There was a media national media reform conference, and I took a cab yesterday to the airport. I was running late, and it was so expensive compared to D.C., and they have medallions. And I'm wondering if it's maybe a two-step process where if they are able to get medallions and then they jack up the prices, and then these companies will rake in tremendous windfalls.
Well, sure, that's happened. In fact, in New York City, the medallion is really no longer about the taxi industry.
Right.
It's about the speculation on the medallion itself, which and the corporate license reached $1 million 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, because ITT owns most of the medallions in New York and most of the other states. And that's a problem that I do have, Pete, too, with the comparison of the District of Columbia being a federal territory, not a state. We're separate and unique from any other metropolitan city.
Not yet a state.
No. Okay. Well, I won't even comment on that. But in any event, it's difficult to compare the District of Columbia, you know, with population. Okay. New York has like seven boroughs. D.C. only has 600,000 people. So you can't compare that. There is, you know, that's no comparison with the population.
Well, of course, and when you take in the fact that actually our business is seasonal in Washington. Summer and going into the holidays late in November and December are very scarce for business. And about the
and that's because what, colleges are out and
colleges,
Congress?
Well, and Congress, and yeah. Our business really generates around Congress. Congress, you know, and the universities. When Congress isn't in session, that's why the summer in August, usually business is slow because people don't visit the District of Columbia. And Congress isn't in session. Our business generates basically around Congress. You have your lobbyists, you have your employees, you have your visitors, and that's where most of our business is.
This is the voice of DC cab drivers here on 1120 AM WUST. I'm Pete Tucker with the Fight Back, thefightback.org. And these shows, like last week's show is, and this show will be in the next days, posted at thefightback.org. Pete Harmon, you wanted to jump in here.
Yes, I want to comment on Phil LeBay's retort. He has been a district resident over 20 years. He would qualify to get a medallion. I used to live in a district. I've had my license 20 years. According to this bill, I may or may not qualify, but the companies like Schaefer's would have the option to buy a medallion before I would, as near as I can tell from the reading bill. By the way, the summary of the bill that Ken Williams wrote up, I printed up thousands and thousands of copies. They're currently available at Diamond Cab and USA Cab, and I plan to pass them around to other cab companies. Feel free to pick up a bundle of these, as many as you want, pass them out to other drivers, pass them out to the public. They're generally for the drivers because it's kind of detailed. But I think, you know, in Phil LeBay's counterbalance that, he says there's swarms of too many cabs, and it sure seems like that sometimes. But then also in the bar and restaurant business, I work mostly nights. There can be a very, you know, people wait a lot longer for a cab than they used to just because of the lack of shared riding and the low fares. Mm-hmm. Most drunks out of Adams Morgan don't think there's too many cabs. It can take half an hour longer to get a cab. Interesting enough, Boston, which we mentioned, has more cabs per resident than any other city in the United States except for Washington, D.C. Well, Las Vegas has more, but they serve only tourists. They have the same population as Washington, 600,000 people. With more cabs per resident than any other city in the country, they have 1,825 cabs. To support that many cabs, they have the highest fare of any major city of $280 a mile, almost twice what we get. The argument we need to make to the public, to your customers, is with driver-owned cabs, not only do you have more cabs, but you can have more cabs at a cheaper rate. Now, obviously, we need a rate higher than the third world. We are lower in Mexico City and many cities in South America. And so, but drivers, the customers can have a lower rate than they would, considerably lower than comparable cities. They can have availability cabs. They have availability cabs when business is slow. In August, when it's slow, other cities, when you have to rent a cab for $100, $150 a shift, companies either take the cabs off the road or they set the number of cabs according to the lowest amount of business. They can't have too many cabs. They have to set the – think about it. When the number of cabs, business is slow, it only support – nobody's going to go and drive a cab and pay $50 at the end of the day. I don't care how desperate you are. So you have to limit the number of cabs according to the lowest amount of business, not the highest, the lowest, when business is the slowest, so it supports at least some cabs when business is slow. That means when it's real busy, there's no cabs. Whereas when business is slow with us, our overhead is can be practically zero if you sit on a stand. We don't need you can survive on very little business. And but consequently, on the counter of that is when it gets busy, there's a lot of cabs to take care of the business. So it works for the public all the way. Driver-owned cabs support more cabs at a lower cost, better service than any other system by far. So we got to let the public know that.
That's Pete Harmon. We have 6 minutes left. Carolyn Robinson and Larry Frankel. Final thoughts you have. Also, Larry, if you can go through one more time about tomorrow's hearing at 2 p.m. at the John A. Wilson Building, 1350 Pennsylvania Avenue, Northwest. Tommy Wells holding a hearing on the DCTC, the DC Taxi Cab Commission. Can you talk about that hearing? You'll be testifying. What are some of the issues you're going to be bringing up?
Absolutely. Now, I remind the drivers, it is about the budget. It's not about the medallion.
Right.
But it is important that every cab driver show up. We need to support. We need to show that every meeting, no matter what the subject is, that cab drivers are concerned about their businesses. So let's flood the Wilson Building. It would be great to see 1,500 to 2,000 cab drivers showing up tomorrow at 2 p.m. to testify. This would be a great announcement to the district that cab drivers, the individual cab drivers that haven't joined the fight before, are now concerned.
Carolyn Robinson, you want to jump in?
Yes, I intend to testify tomorrow, as I usually do in most hearings that are involved with taxicab business. And it's important, you know, with the budget. We also need to make the Taxicab Commission accountable. A whole lot of times they have different things in the budget that they really aren't doing. And if the budget is cut, we still need a certain amount to operate. You know, as far as I'm concerned with the budget, until the D.C. Hack inspectors, they called public vehicle inspectors, until they are properly trained and are vested, and if in the regulations the chairman wanted them to have police powers, which to me is questionable, the system is still going to fail. You know, we can't just have anybody haphazardly pulling cabs over and instituting their own ideas and not abiding by rules and regulations to put other drivers. They're trying to put us out of business in every way they can.
That's Carolyn Robinson, a fourth-generation Washingtonian, 36-year driver associated with the D.C. Professional Taxi Cab Drivers Association and the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi Cab Drivers. We have 3 minutes left. Pete Harmon, let me get your final thoughts in maybe a minute and see if we can get final thoughts from Larry Frankel and Carolyn as well.
Yeah, I want to say one thing. A lot of drivers supported Vincent Gray to run for office. For example, the driver last night who bought a new cab recently thought Vince Gray was going to save us. I asked him a direct question in a meeting when he was raising money from cab drivers after he said how his father supported their family of 10 with a second job owning a cab. I asked him, are you going to guarantee us ownership rights of our cabs? Are you going to afford us the same opportunity that your father and your family had? He refused to answer me. I think we need to be very careful with any politician. The money in this is too big. Also, he has promised us through his emissary that Leon Swain would be gone by now, that they would be starting to put taxi cab company representatives on the commission. None of this has happened. I think we need to be very careful. He's promised us a lot of things and delivered on none, and maybe is just as – also, basically, this bill shows what the city really wants. It's just not Marion Barry. This is what they want. This is what they've been working at for years, trying to destroy us. The only way we can defeat it is to stay strong and not just say we're unified, but be unified and act accordingly. Thank you.
Thanks, Pete Harmon. Carolyn Robinson.
One thing that I want to say, Pete, it is just interesting now that when the mayor issued the executive order in regards to the gas surcharge, then he had to come back and issue another executive order. And at his press conference, press briefing, it is interesting that one of the reporters asked, why didn't he have the correct information in the first place? So it shows there's some dysfunction in all of the powers that be, and the people who work at the Taxicab Commission are misinformed and ill-informed.
Larry Franco, 30 seconds.
Yes, sir. I'd like to leave the drivers with this message. The words of the day are unity, camaraderie, and brotherhood. Please join hands across all the diversities and tell each other that we, our businesses, are worth saving. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is the voice of DC cab drivers. I'm Pete Tucker with the Fight Back, thefightback.org, where the show will be archived. The show is engineered, it's brought to you by Dominion of Cab Drivers. The show is engineered by Francis Stewart, and a shout out to Candace in Buffalo. Stay tuned. Hopefully see drivers tomorrow, 2 p.m. at the John A. Wilson Building, 1350 Pennsylvania Avenue, Northwest, and next week right here on WUST 1120 AM.
Joe Hill's best song. Sorry, we almost missed the damn thing. Chorus is, there is power in a band of working folks when we stand hand in hand. That's a power that must rule in every land. One industrial union grand. I'll teach you the chorus.
There is power in a band of working folks when we stand hand in hand. Must rule in every land. One industrial union grand.
Have you got that again? You understand the chorus? Everybody got it now? All right. Oh, would you have freedom from wage slavery and come join the grand industrial band? Oh, would you from misery and hunger be free? Come on, do you share land and...
Radio station.